prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. I am Dave. With me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
And today is going to be a great show. We are talking about the anthropic principle.
The what?
You know what the anthropic principle is.
I like to play dumb.
Yeah. The universe is finely tuned so that life can actually exist in it. And this is evidence of God's existence. So we're going to look at that today. Is the universe finely tuned? Is there any evidence scientifically for the existence of God?
You know what? I got a sneaking suspicion there is. Otherwise, we wouldn't really be talking about it.
Actually, you know, yeah, well, you're probably right. But if we found evidence against God, we'd probably talk about that too. Because that would be really interesting. As a matter of fact, if you have any evidence against God's existence, send it to us.
We've been trying to get people to do that for, 2.5 years now? It ain't happening.
Well, maybe someone tuned in for the first time today. Who knows? The evidence against God's existence. So truthrevolution.tv.
All right.
Contact us right there.
Yeah,
if you got
a
question. We're going to try to answer a question today. We were going to try to answer it last week, but it didn't happen. We didn't get to it. We got 2 out of 3. We're also going to do a Bible contradiction. The Bible contradicts itself in 2 Samuel 24 and 1 Chronicles 21.
It does. I saw it myself.
You know, it's black right there, black and white. So we're going to answer that. What's going on? Why does the Bible contradict there? Is there a resolution for it? So as always, thanks for listening to Truth Revolution. We are sponsored by Revolution Church and listeners just like you.
Right.
So, you know, if you want more of this or if you want to support Truth Revolution, get on over to truthrevolution.tv and feel free to give and support there. It takes money and time to put a show like this on.
It does.
So thank you to all you who are willing to give.
Not that we don't enjoy doing this, but it does take up time and money. So.
That's right. And, you know, there's really... For the number, we're on like 13 channels now, and for the number of channels, there's not that many givers. So, you know, those of you who do, thank you seriously a lot.
Yes.
So, all right, now let's go ahead and get into this show, Dave.
All right.
Are you ready?
I think I am.
I think I'm
the
ready.
The anthropic principle.
The anthropic principle is the universe is finely tuned so that life can exist. Without a specific set of finely tuned designs, life on Earth would not be possible.
Right.
Dr. Hugh Ross, he says the correct definition of the anthropic principle states that humanity's existence places severe constraints on the physical constants, structure, and history of the universe, on the Milky Way galaxy, the solar system, and Earth and its life. Most lay-level astronomy books define the anthropic principle by stating that the presence of intelligent observers, being capable of measuring astronomical bodies and phenomena, requires many characteristics of the universe and the laws of physics to be fine-tuned.
All right.
Yes.
Do me a favor.
Okay.
Knock that down to where I can understand what he's saying.
Okay, let's bring this down to a fourth grade level.
Thanks, dude. Appreciate that.
I'm just joking. Let's do bring it down to a fourth grade level, though, okay? You and I couldn't live if we didn't have air.
Right.
If we didn't have our oxygen.
That's pretty fourth grade level.
And guess what? There's oxygen on Earth.
Yes.
You and I couldn't live if there wasn't water.
Right.
Guess what? There's water on Earth. You and I couldn't live if there wasn't a sun at the right distance from Earth. And guess what? There's a sun the right distance from Earth. Okay? This is the anthropic principle. Like, there's a bunch of factors that have to come in play for life to exist. But it's a whole lot more complicated than just sun and water.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people get it. Oh, they found water on Mars.
Right.
Oh, must be life there.
Yeah, NASA, especially the popular media, have this thing out there that says, hey, if we just find water and sunlight on a planet, there's probably life. But that's not true. There's a lot more. I find no seriously challenging arguments against the anthropic principle in atheist readings. When we put out, and we're going to go over today, a lot of the different things that's needed for life on Earth that show, wow, this is really unlikely. Life is unlikely.
Right. It makes us look like, hey, we have a unique situation here in the universe.
Yes.
You know? But also, conversely, we have an awesome, huge God that can do whatever he wants.
Right. And he's developed this planet with a very highly improbable set of circumstances that allow for life like us.
Right.
not just microbial life, but life that can actually be aware of their existence and study things. And so this is, I mean, it's fascinating. We're going to go over these characteristics. And when you, I mean, if there was a one in a trillion chance that you were going to win, whatever it is, 10 lotteries in a row, it's probably way more than a trillion, one in a trillion. But if there was a one in a trillion chance and you won 10 lotteries in a row, you'd be thinking, is someone cheating? Like,
right?
Did someone mess with the numbers? Like, how is this happening?
Right. Everybody, exactly how I felt when the Broncos lost the Super Bowl.
Oh, geez. Come on. Because there's a one in a trillion chance right. that they were going to lose. No, but like, if there's a one in a trillion chance of something happening and it happens, everybody's going to start thinking, wait a minute.
Right.
Someone's pulling strings here.
Yeah, there's something deeper going on.
And that's what we're suggesting.
Right.
The existence of life on the earth, because of the crazy things that had to happen for life to exist, someone's pulling strings here, and that someone would have to be God. Now, just to get into this, let's look at some of the atheist responses, okay?
Okay.
Richard Dawkins, you know, the famous atheist,
mm-hmm.
he said that Einstein didn't believe in God.
Right.
And he quotes some of Einstein's anti-religious quotes to prove it. Now, granted, Einstein didn't actually care for the idea of a personal God like Jesus, but because of the anthropic principle, he did believe in a God, a designer of the universe.
Right. Emphasis, designer.
Exactly.
Right.
And this quote here, it's a lengthy one, but this is what Albert Einstein actually said.
Okay, he says, I am not an atheist, and I don't think I can call myself a pantheist.
Okay, first, hey, look, he just said I'm not an atheist,
right.
period. Albert Einstein said
right.
that. Okay, go ahead.
All right. We are in the position of a little child entering a huge library filled with books in many languages. The child knows someone must have written those books. It doesn't know how. Mm. It doesn't understand the languages in which they are written. The child dimly suspects a mysterious order in the arrangements of the books, but doesn't know what it is. That is, or that it seems to me, is the attitude of even the most intelligent human being towards God. We see the universe marvelously arranged and obeying certain laws, but only dimly understand these laws. Our limited minds grasp the mysterious force that moves the constellations.
And that was Albert Einstein, as quoted in Jammer, his book, Einstein and Religion. Page 97, look it up.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's important to note, Einstein, he didn't believe in a personal God, but he looked at the anthropic principle, all these mysteries of the universe, the laws by which the universe ran. And he said, man, this was designed by a mind. This was
right.
not an accident.
Right. And that's the first hurdle right there.
Yeah.
You know, there is a God.
Einstein also said, in view of such harmony in the cosmos, which I, with my limited human mind, am able to recognize, there are yet people who say there is no God. But what really makes me angry is that they quote me for support of such views.
Right.
Einstein said, look, I think there's a God, and I see design in the universe. There has to be a God. And it's so ridiculous to say there's no God. But what makes me mad is that people are saying that I said there's no God.
Right.
Friends, Albert Einstein looked at the anthropic principle and said, there has to be a God. Now, we don't want to just make an appeal to authority and say, well, Albert Einstein believed it, therefore you have to believe it.
Right.
So let,
but he was a smart dude.
Let's look at the, well, he was a smart dude.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, let's at least look at some of the evidence. Okay. Dr. Patrick Glenn, he gives, some of the evidence. He says gravity is roughly 10 to the 39th power. I mean, that's an astronomical number right there.
Right.
That's a 10 with 39 zeros behind it. Okay. 10 to the 39 times weaker than electromagnetism. Now listen, 10 to the 39, okay? That's what it is. He says, if gravity had been 10 to the 33 times weaker, quote, stars would be a billion times less massive and would burn a million times faster.
Right.
You just changed from the 39th power to the 33rd power, and suddenly stars yeah. cannot produce life.
Right. And everything is starting to fall apart. You know, you imagine that stars would be less dense, like
yeah.
you said, and probably more massive. I mean, as far as taking up space,
yeah,
you know,
they would burn a billion times less massive. Billion. Could you imagine if our star was a billion times less massive than it is now? That's not going to do much for us.
No, I think I'd move somewhere else.
Be a candle in the universe,
right.
And yeah, the nuclear force is 10 to the 28 times the strength of gravity. Had the weak force been slightly weaker, just slightly, all the hydrogen in the universe would have turned into helium, making water impossible.
Wow, and we'd all be talking funny, I'm sure. Hi, Jeff.
No.
How you doing?
You know, I actually think there would be a bigger problem than just talking funny, right?
I know.
No, I mean...
I am a layperson, though, right?
Yeah, so. So water would not exist.
Right.
If that was the case. Just a tiny change in the weak nuclear force.
So that would be helium 2-0? Or something like that?
I mean, no, strange. No. Okay, anyway. Another one. A stronger nuclear force. Okay, if you make the nuclear force stronger by just 2%, that would have prevented the formation of protons.
Wow.
Protons. That would yield a universe with no atoms. Now, tell me, you could have life with no atoms?
Oh, I don't think you have a universe with no atoms.
Yeah. Decreasing.
There would be no atom without atoms.
So that's if you increase it by 2%. We wouldn't have atoms. If you decrease the strong nuclear force by 5%, we'd have a universe with no stars.
Oh, that wouldn't be fun.
So you've got gravity, electromagnetism, the weak nuclear force, the strong nuclear force, all of these forces, you know, that if you just tweak them a little bit.
But even if we had no sunlight or starlight, I mean, you know, evolution does say that we probably wouldn't need eyes then, right?
We would still need atoms to exist.
Sorry.
Right?
Playing the devil's advocate
and
here.
If stars didn't exist, it's not that you could... I mean, that's a good question. If stars didn't exist, it's not as though we could evolve without eyes. We have to have sunlight for any kind of life to exist on this planet. Plant life, which, we ultimately...
Chlorophyll.
We basically evolved from, is what they say. And so you're not going to have life without a star or a sun.
Right.
You're just not going to.
Well, and stars actually give us the heavy metals.
Yep.
And such. And so, you know, there would be a big, huge deficit
in
this universe.
We've done other shows on the importance of stars, and you can go back and look it up. Or you can go to reasons.org. They got great stuff about it. And, I mean, it's fascinating. If you just picture a combination lock on a huge safe, and imagine there are 10 dials there. Or 7 dials there, okay? They represent the forces, like the nuclear force, the gravity, the strong nuclear force, the weak nuclear force.
And all of them have to electromagnetism. Be just so.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have them on the exact right number. Like, this dial is a million numbers around.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to get them all on the exact right number. And if they're just off a little bit, like trying to open your locker, they're just off by a little bit, it's not going to open. But not only does it mean your locker isn't open, it means if any one of those is off just a little bit... Life doesn't exist.
You don't even have a locker.
Forget the locker.
Right.
Forget yourself.
Right.
This is the anthropic principle, right? Everything is finely tuned. We could not have come here by accident.
Right.
Things like this don't evolve. You don't throw a die with a million numbers on the floor and have it show up on the exact right number. And you don't throw a 10 dice on the floor, all with a million numbers, a million possibilities, and they all just happen to randomly roll onto the correct number every single time. That just doesn't happen.
It doesn't.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
But some people sure make it sound like it does.
Well, they make it sound like it does, but I'm sure the Vegas casinos would love to have dice with a million numbers on it, and they'd love to make you roll, 10 of those dice where you have to get all 10 of the numbers correct before you won something. Would you play that game?
I wouldn't, but you know what? I mean, I'm a creationist.
There's probably people who would say, just one more roll, I'll win.
I got it.
Just
got
one
this.
More roll, and I'm going to do it. It'll be good. I'm going to, and just, dude, stop right now.
Right.
You're not going to win the game if your chances are one out of, 10 million. So anyway, you get the point.
Hey, so you're saying there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance. Thank you, Jim Carrey.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so on the other side of this show, the other side of the break, we're getting back to the show with the anthropic principle. We're going to answer a Bible contradiction and a listener question. That question today might take a little time.
I took a little peek at it. It's pretty deep.
It's a good one. It's about Mithra and these other gods that supposedly have done things like Jesus. Mm-hmm. And is Jesus just another myth among many? So
that's
we're
an important
that.
Question that needs to be answered, honestly.
Hey, get out to Revolution Church. We're changing service times. So starting May 18th, we're going to be at 9 and 11 instead of 9 and 11:15. Today is 9 and 11:15. So come out to Revolution Church. If you're not in the Salina area, go to our website, truthrevolution.tv, and you can watch live online. Just click the when and where. All right, we'll catch you on the other side of this break. Get out to truthrevolution.tv. Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. We've been growing and now we're going to two services.
Sunday morning at 9 a.m. or 11:15 a.m. Check us out at salinarevolution.com.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Well, most people here hadn't been for a long, long time, if ever, so don't worry, you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11:15 a.m.
salinarevolution.com or check us out on Facebook.
Revolution! Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com, that's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com, K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Jesus said in John 10, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full."
Boom! Having life to the full is God's desire for you.
So, what is the abundant life?
It's a life that finds its entire worth in, makes it mission the spread of, and enjoys ultimate satisfaction in knowing and savoring Jesus Christ.
Jesus says in Luke 9, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it."
Whoa. Jesus wants to give us a full life, not a safe life.
Jim Elliot once said, "Consume my life, my God, for it is thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one, like you, Lord Jesus."
That's a good prayer. Not a long life, but a full one.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same, to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back on your radio, believe it or not.
This is where faith and reason meets. So glad you're joining us. If you like faith, or if you like reason, if you like science, or if you like your Bible.
Right. And if you like harmony, come on.
Yeah.
Faith and reason coexist right here.
Today we've been talking about science. We've been talking about astronomy and the anthropic principle.
Right. And how that coincides with faith.
Why does life exist? Seriously, why does life exist? The probability of life existing is extremely low.
Right.
You have to have all the things just right. Electromagnetism, gravity, the weak nuclear force, the strong nuclear force. You change any of them just a little bit and it all goes crazy. Just like I did.
Just like you did. I think it actually goes even crazier than that.
I
wouldn't want to be around.
Actually, it doesn't go crazy at all. We just cease to exist.
That's true.
And so why is this the case? We're saying the reason is God. I mean, you don't get all these amazingly unlikely things to occur all at the same time.
Right.
Unless someone set it up that way.
Right. But you think also about the chances of us actually being here, okay? Take God out of the equation totally.
Okay.
And the chances of us being here are basically nil. But the Bible tells us that in him, all things are held together.
Yeah.
Imagine God just, if he just blinked and forgot to, or just decided not to hold everything together just for a moment.
Yeah, well, you bring up a good question. Like, what causes this strong nuclear force to work?
Mm-hmm.
Why does it continue to work right now? Why?
I think the Bible makes that clear.
I mean, what would happen if suddenly the strong nuclear force just stopped doing its thing?
Yeah, everything would fall apart.
We would literally cease to exist. Mm-hmm. Immediately.
Immediately. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, we're going to get to a listener question.
I got a question.
All right. Our listener question today. I got a lot of pages here.
Well, whose fault is that, Dave?
That would be the printer's fault.
Oh. Who printed this stuff? All right.
All right.
Listener question. Starting on page one.
Yes, on one. Here it is.
And then to page two.
I got you.
They go in order. It follows the same sequence as numbers.
Thanks, but okay, all right. I'm done blaming people.
You can blame me.
My bad.
That was actually me who printed it, so.
I know. All right, check it out. This listener wants to know. I was watching a documentary on Jericho where they were saying the biblical account was wrong. They mentioned that
okay. First mistake.
What?
Documentary.
Right.
History Channel's awful.
Right. They mentioned that they found a scroll where there was a Canaanite king who wrote down how how he marched around cities, blowing a horn in battle like Joshua in the Bible.
Okay.
How come so many Bible stories seem to be copies of earlier pagan stories, such as this king or Marduk's bow in the sky after a flood like the rainbow and Noah, etc.? Does this point to them being just copies the Jews made on their own?
All right. Well, a couple things here. I don't know the story about Jericho that you referenced, the Canaanite king doing that. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find it. I don't know what it is.
It was in the documentary.
So I can't address it directly, but I can say that there's been so many. There have been copious amounts of things that documentaries on like the History Channel or A&E or whatever mm-hmm. have said, well, we found this in history. And then when you go and you actually look up the information, it's nothing like what they claimed.
Right.
When you do the research yourself. And then there's even been some stuff where the archaeologists have found information. They said, wow, look, the Bible was wrong. Like the one we love to point out, the one about Daniel and Belteshazzar and the king.
Right.
Where archaeologists said, no, there was a different king. But we find out later that the Bible was more right than the archaeologists.
Right. Wasn't that the king went on vacation and left his son in charge?
Yes. And so the first and biggest point is, look, even if they think they found something, archaeology is never complete. Okay, there's always more information coming later. Mm-hmm. But the biggest point is go read the stories. When you read these stories about Marduk or about the Enuma-Elish or the other creation accounts and compare them to the Bible, you will see that they are actually nothing like the biblical versions right. of the creation, the flood, or anything else. I mean, I shouldn't say they're nothing like it because they include some basic elements in the same way that if I said, well, Dave rode his motorcycle to church today, mm-hmm. includes the same elements as me saying, Dave rode upon the beast of his motorcycle and slay 1,000 dragons and fought with the god Lushmak on his way here. He ripped his eyes out and bled upon the road, and his motorcycle was thrown here by the evil dragon Druflok, and then he fell upon the ground and broke his head open. His brain spilled out because he was evil, and then a magical squirrel put dust over his body. And,
I was beginning to like that story for a minute. Well,
you see, the essential elements were the same. Dave got here on his motorcycle, right. but they're actually nothing alike.
Right. There's a lot of extraneous information there.
Yeah, it's the same thing between the biblical stories and these other stories.
I do slay dragons, by the way, so just want you to know.
Congratulations. When I need a dragon slayer, I will call you.
Right on.
And so if you need a dragon slayer, go to truthrevolution.tv. You can email us at dragonslayer@truthrevolution.tv.
All right, stop.
All right. So that's the point. You got to go read these things. All right. People post all the time online. It drives me nuts. Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus is just like this other guy.
Right. No, he's not.
No, he's not. Yeah. Jesus
is wholly unique in the history of the universe.
If you just go read and don't take the blogger's advice for it, and you don't take the History Channel's advice for it, if you go read the original sources, you'll see, wow, these things are way different.
Amen.
For existence, we're going to post a link to an article by Carm. They point out some differences and similarities in the Enuma-Elish creation account. Okay, this was the Enuma-Elish contains some references to Marduk, who the listener referenced. Mm-hmm. And the Enuma-Elish begins when on high, and Genesis starts by saying in the beginning. So there's a similarity. All right. Another thing that in both of them, water, it was divided into upper and lower mm-hmm. regions. The Enuma-Elish is recorded on 7 tablets, and the Genesis creation is completed in 7 days. So that's kind of a similarity. Yeah. The Enuma-Elish and Genesis imply primeval chaos in the beginning. That is, if you interpret darkness and emptiness as chaos. So, right. There are some differences there, and you can go to the article and see some of the or similarities, I mean. But the differences are even more astounding. Okay, first of all, Genesis is monotheistic. plainly.
Right.
The Enumelish is crazy polytheistic. I mean, we're talking like God battles, like I described with Dave.
Right.
Right? It's yes. very different. The Enumelish, it's mythological, but Genesis is not mythological. It's actually anti-mythical. I mean, it's a...
Right. It's putting an explanation on things so that there wouldn't be myths.
Exactly. And in fact, when Moses wrote it, you would say that he wrote it as a polemic against crazy mythology, right, like the Enumelish. He might have known about the Enumelish and mm-hmm. wrote it and saying, guys, that's just a crazy story. Let me tell you what's up for real. In the Enumelish, as almost all other Near Eastern creation myths, creation is accomplished through the conflict and warfare. So there was a lot of war.
Right.
And that's how the world came to be, through blood and tears of the gods. In Genesis, God said, let it be.
Right.
And so, I mean, it's almost like Genesis, like anticlimactic.
Right.
You know, there's no epic war scenes.
You know, could it be that maybe early in human history, we knew exactly how the universe came into being mm-hmm. because we had that knowledge.
Yeah.
Some people maybe felt, that's too boring. Let's add this and that into it. And it just got out of control. And mm-hmm. then when Moses came around,
yeah,
let's tidy that up.
Very
again.
Good point. Very good point. And then J. Warner Wallace made another article about Mithras. Some people, we're going to link to this one too at truthrevolution.tv. Mithras, some people say, well, he was just like Jesus. He had 12 disciples like Jesus. Actually, if you go look up the information, no, he didn't. There's no information like that at all. They say, well, Mithras promised his followers immortality. Well, that's true, but like that happens in pretty much every religion.
Right.
They say, well, Mithras sacrificed himself for world peace. No, he didn't. Not if you go look up the original stuff. They say, well, Mithras, was celebrated on Sunday, just like Christianity and Jesus. Okay. Well, that's true, but that didn't happen until post-Christian times.
Right.
And so, if anything, they were borrowing from Jesus.
And let's be honest, there's 7 days in a week.
There's only so many days you can get. Yeah,
of course, we're going to hit the same day.
So, go to the original sources whenever they say Christianity borrowed, because...
Right. Yeah, here's the thing. Knock laziness out of that. You know, don't be lazy.
We just research. Go to the source. All right, so anyway, we're going to get to the Bible contradiction now. Are you ready, Dave?
Yep.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible contradiction today brought to you by the fine folks at infidels.org. How many years of famine? 2 Samuel 24:13 says that basically Gad came to David and said, hey, shall 7 years of famine come to you and your land, or shall you flee 3 months before your enemies?
Seven years.
Yeah, 1 Chronicles 21:11 and 12b basically said, Gad came to David and asked him, thus says the Lord, choose for yourself either 3 years of famine or 3 years to be defeated by your foes.
Months.
3 years.
So 3 years or 7 years.
Right, which was it?
Okay, Samuel says it was 7 years. 1 Chronicles says it was 3 years. In our cracked acronym, you got to go to the letter E.
Okay.
Early meaning in manuscripts. I got to tell you, I had to look this one up. I had to study
it. Did you? Right on.
I couldn't figure it out offhand. What happened was, this is probably when you get to the earliest manuscript, you realize that there was a copyist error in here. 2 Samuel 24 probably originally said 3 years, like 1 Chronicles.
Right.
Because if you go back and you find the earliest manuscripts say three, not seven. But uh-huh. the later manuscripts say seven. So somehow in there, it got changed over the course of time.
Right.
And so when we say the Bible is true, of course, we don't mean that if there's an error in there, that Bible's true.
Right.
You know, if Zondervan, who prints Bibles, if suddenly they had an error in their printers and, it started printing all sorts of crazy stuff, we wouldn't say, the Bible's wrong! We'd say, look, there was a printer error. Well, here you had a printer error. They wrote seven instead of three.
Right.
But we have the earliest manuscripts, and it says three, just like 1 Chronicles does.
Right, and it's great to know that we've got those early manuscripts to go off of.
That's right.
It's not just a copy of a copy of a copy.
So we can't get to the rest of the Anthropic Principle stuff today, which is just too bad. I mean, this stuff is really, really important. So what we're going to do is we're going to link also to some of the 400 or so traits that Reasons.org has made that show the Anthropic Principle. So if you want to get to truthrevolution.tv, you can look it up there. There's like over 400 of these things. We just mentioned a few of them.
Right.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening today. Get over to Truth Revolution Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for Truth Shots.
Yep.
60 Seconds of Truth.
There you go.
All right. And hit us up. If you got any questions, let us know. We love to answer questions and try to answer every single one of them. So have a great day. God bless. And hopefully we'll see you at Revolution Church.